The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Everybody, it is Tuesday, September 5th, 2023, and it is indeed a heck of a morning. We are live on the MMA Fighting Twitter Spaces. You can hear the show in its entirety shortly thereafter on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. Hello, my friends. I am Mike Peck. Hope everyone had a great weekend. If you're in the States, hope you had a great long weekend. We are on the heels of a very fun UFC Paris event. Ciryl Gane, one-way traffic in the main event against Sergey Spivak. Got it done, bounced back, second round, TKO finish. Rose Namajunas came up short in her debut in the UFC's flyweight division. Competitive fight against Manon Fiorro. Fiorro gets a unanimous decision. Rose has had a lot to say about that. Suffered a pretty nasty hand injury. She says a dislocated finger. There's a gnarly-looking photo that was shared on social media. But big win for Manon Fiorro. Rose says she's going to stick around at 125, so we'll see what happens there. Benoit Saint-Denis put everybody on notice at 155 pounds. What a performance against Thiago Moises. And the crowd was on fire. It's a hell of a watch when you get the crowd ambiance and everything going on. It was a good time. And early day MMA is tremendous MMA. But the UFC stays international. They are in Sydney, Australia, UFC 293 coming up on Saturday. Not the best pay-per-view offering the UFC has given us, but a lot of it has to do with fights falling apart. We still have the title fight, Israel Adesanya versus Sean Strickland. I have a feeling things are going to ramp up over the next few days with Media Day coming up and the press conference and everything going on with those two guys. Things are going to ramp up quite a bit. Tai Tuivasa in the co-main events, which I'm sure is going to make everybody very, very happy, taking on Alexander Volkov. Manal Kopp finally gets to fight, knocking on wood. Taking on newcomer Felipe Dos Santos, Justin Taffa, Austin Lane, Tyson Pedro versus the Pleasure Man. That is your main card. There's a couple of bangers on the prelims. Carlos Ulberg, Daun Jung should be a lot of fun. I love the Jack Jenkins, Chepe Mariscal fight. That's going to be insane. Jamie Mullarkey, John McDessie is a fun one. There's some weird ones on here as well. We got Kiefer Crosby making his UFC debut. Blood Diamond is back. It's not an $85 card, but I think if you watch it, and I think the fans will be into it, could be end up being a fun watch. And if somehow, some way, Sean Strickland ends the night winning the middleweight championship, holy freaking smokes. But there's a lot going on. We got Jorge Masvidal's promotion coming up on Friday. Gamebred Bare Knuckle going down in Jacksonville. It's a pretty good card. We got JDS versus Fabricio Werdum in the main event. We got Maki Pitolo fighting Joel Bauman on the card as well. I think that's the co-main event. Brandon Jenkins, Anthony Njokuani, other notable names, Erwin Rivera, Brandon Davis on the card as well. So that should be a fun watch on Friday. But let's turn it over to you guys. Let's get after this and let's see what's on your mind. Eric, kick us off. Let's go.
How are you?
What's up, man?
I think Israel and China are going to put on a war, but I can see Israel Adesanya retaining. I don't see Sean Strickland retaining. I don't see Sean Strickland getting that belt, but not yet, but I think he will get the belt one day. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting fight. I'm very curious to see how Sean Strickland is going to approach this fight. Because his team, I've talked to Eric Dixick a million times about crafting game plans for Sean Strickland. And one of his favorite stories to tell me, even though it was a bad result for the team, was the game plan they had for the Alex Pereira fight, which was to wrestle. But Sean Strickland was like, nah, I'm just going to try to punch this dude in the face over and over again. And despite the team yelling at him, like, no, what are you doing? He went out on his shield, and Sean still says to this day that he wouldn't do it any differently. So I'm curious, is he just going to go after Izzy? Because I think that's honestly his best chance to win, is just to get in his face and just throw as much as possible and not give Izzy any space. But that is so much easier said than done with a guy like Israel Adesanya. So I don't know. I feel like Izzy should kind of cruise in this one. He might get Strickland out of there if Strickland gets a little cray-cray. But to say, like, there's no path to victory for Sean Strickland, I don't think is true. But he's going to have to pitch a perfect game. He's going to have to just get in Izzy's face and just throw a million punches over and over and over again. But even that might not be enough. But if he doesn't go out and do that, if he doesn't have 25 minutes of that in him, then it could be a rough night for him. But what a world it could be. This is MMA and anything can happen. So we've seen weird things happen all year long. Chase, hello.
Hey, what's up, Mike? Just wanted to see if you had any thoughts on the Contender Series card tonight. The main event looks pretty solid. Bruno Lopez is a big favorite. He's got a win over RoboCop on the regional scene. I just wanted to see if you had any thoughts on tonight's Contender Series card.
Yeah, Bruno Lopez is super good. He's probably one of the best overall fighters competing in this entire season. So I'm looking forward to him going out there and doing work. I do like, I can never pronounce his name right, Sirhai Sadai. I probably butcher that, but he's really fun. I enjoy watching him fight, and they could obviously use some extra Canadian fighters on the roster. Those are the two I'm really watching, but we'll see how this all goes down. There's some good records on here, but the top two fights are really what I'm looking forward to. Lopez and Sadai are two of the fighters that I've had my eye on pretty much all season. So they get their opportunity and see if they can deliver on the big stage. But it should be a good watch tonight. And we'll see how the contracts are doled out. Ebzoalia,
yeah,
hello.
Hi. So just two things I want to say. Firstly, looking forward to this great UFC 293 card this Saturday. It's in my home, in my country, Australia. I just want to discuss briefly about the three main fights I'm really into. Tai Tuivasa Volkov, Manel Cape versus the unranked opponents facing in Adesanya Strickland. So, like, I think a lot of people, I'll start with Adesanya. I think a lot of people are underestimating Sean Strickland because based off, you know, the very few fights they've seen of him, they don't realize how fundamentally amazing he is. He actually has the most crucial and basic understanding of the fight game down to the core. He understands how to box. He understands how to perform jiu-jitsu. He's got great fundamental defense. And he's also worked on some of his flaws, such as covering and, you know, protecting his chin, head movement, and et cetera, et cetera. And I think based on the last three performance, you know, two back-to-back master classes against Imavov and Abus, I think Sean is going to mix it up with a lot of aggression. He's definitely going to do his usual slow stand pace, and he's also probably going to, you know, take Adesanya to the ground, challenge him. Because, I mean, if there's anything Sean does, he likes to go and stand and bang. Adesanya, I can see him putting on a master class. I could even see him going for submission because he's mentioned that. And we know he's been working on his wrestling and jiu-jitsu much more over the last 3 to 4 years since he's become a champion. So I'm curious to see where they will go with that. As for Volkov and Taito Iwasa, yes, Taito Iwasa has come off two major losses, obviously to contenders, mind you. But I think what people overlook is Taito's not just a punches guy. He actually has very underrated leg kicks. He's good in the clinch. He's definitely got solid understanding of how to box around his opponents. And he needs to work on that momentum to keep Volkov down at the cage so he doesn't lose balance. But Volkov's got some upsides, and I believe, you know, he could win on Saturday. We'll see what happens. Manuel Cape, I don't have much to say, but hopefully if he gets this win, he should be able to rightfully so fight Brandon Moreno, maybe the winner of Tim Elliott and Mokaev next month. I'm curious on that. And the second thing I just want to say is, it was a convo I did mention last Friday about superstars in the UFC. I don't want to drag on any longer, but all I'll say is I reckon the stars that the UFC are going to build up in the future, I would like to equally see the fighters themselves market themselves to the extreme and the UFC, where those guys can become not just stars in UFC, but they could possibly become megastars that other sport fans know about. You know, because we saw that they made the mistake with Francis Ngannou and, you know, other athletes. But that's all I have to say. Have a good day. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, Izzy should win pretty easily on Saturday. But again, Sean just has to be perfect. Dude's got to be perfect, and he's got to be violent. But my whole thing with Strickland is, he is part of a great team that's going to craft a great game plan, which is not an easy thing to do when you're fighting a guy like Israel Adesanya. So will he stick to that, or will he get emotional in there and just be like, F you, let's fight? And if he does that, probably not a good thing, but we'll see what happens there. I don't like Ty's chances against Volkov. Could he land a big shot and knock Volkov out? Sure. It's very, 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 very possible. He's got the home crowd behind him. But that's one of those fights where the longer it goes, the more it favors Volkov. It's just, who can Ty land the big shot, or can Volkov, as Jose Youngs like to put it, win by death by 1,000 lunchboxes? You know what I mean? And Volkov could just take Ty down too. So, yeah, I don't love that fight for Ty, but at this point in his career, trying to build him up to where he was before, like, these are the fights you're just going to have to take. He's already had like the fun fights, already fought Cyril, already fought Derek Lewis. He's kind of in a weird place, but Ty's super fun. And Manel Cop, it's got to be a showcase fight for him, taking on a promotional newcomer. But I think for him, it's just getting reps, because dude's had some real bad luck as of late. So, and then the star thing. The last thing I'll say about this, because I talked about it a lot on Friday, is if you're a fighter in the UFC and you're waiting for the promotion to put the promotional push behind you, you're not doing it right. You got to do it on your own. You got to do it by yourself. And if you could do it by yourself and the promotion notices it, yeah, they'll help. But you got to do it on your own.
For sure.
Tristan, what's up, man?
Hey, Mike, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, I want to talk about Benoit Saint-Denis. Benoit Saint-Denis, he looked great. He looked amazing. But Luke Thomas did point something out, that he did get clipped a couple of times. You know, never usually question about Saint-Denis' durability, and that's going to get him far. But when we talk about championship from the title, that's one concern about it. Like, as he start fighting tougher fighters, you know, that has power and that could actually hurt him. I mean, your durability could go at some point. It's going to go at some point. The only person that's an anomaly is Max Holloway, which is insane. He has a granite chin, and his durability has been always pretty good. I mean, well, pretty much great. Luke, I just, being champion is going to be tough if you're not tightening those gaps, putting your hands up, you know, making sure. I mean, he moved a couple of times here and there, but he did get clipped. So, I mean, with Saint-Denis, I think he's tough. I think he's great. I think he's going to go far, but I do question about him getting hit, and he has to tighten up those gaps real quick. Because I think also, too, during the fight, they were saying, I think his corner was telling him, like, don't brawl. Don't brawl in there. You know, take your time. Be a little bit patient. But sometimes he can't even help himself. He wants to go crazy, especially at his hometown. So, but, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what's going on with him. And listening to, I know, Connor, I kind of disagree with the pick that you chose with Matt Favola. I think Favola's his heart and his mind is set on Paddy Pimblett. He wants that fight. In the worst way, I did watch an interview with him with John Anik and Kenny Florian. And, you know, he said he would love to have Paddy Pimblett at MSG, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Paddy Pimblett's not going to fight till next year. So I don't know. I mean, it's not impossible for Saint-Denis to fight him at MSG. So that is a kind of quick turnaround in November. So I just don't know if it's going to happen. I really think he has his heart set on Paddy Pimblett. And if there's any inkling that – and I think you wrote up an article where Paddy Pimblett is open to fight Matt Favola at some point. But, I mean, if they return to London next year, I see that fight most likely happening where you have Paddy Pimblett versus Matt Favola. Because, you know, Favola is really wants to be the one to be the first one to beat him and knock him out. So, and, you know, like you said, he respects him. And, you know, he knows it's a tough fight, but it looked like his heart is set on Paddy Pimblett. So that's just my thoughts. Thanks, Mike.
Fighting an MSG means more to him than fighting Paddy Pimblett right now. 1,000%. He wants the Paddy fight. And even if he fights Benoit Saint-Denis and loses at MSG, that fight is still there. That fight's still there. Paddy wants it. Makes sense. Like, he might not be a top 15 guy if he loses to Benoit Saint-Denis, but that fight just makes sense. Like, if Benoit can turn around, because, I mean, he got hit a couple of times, but it's not like he took a ton of damage in that fight. He took damage maybe in the final minute of the first round, and then he took no damage in the second. He just big brothered Thiago Moises. So, yeah, I think that's the perfect fight. And look, Benoit Saint-Denis, like, has people excited. And to get him over that hump to be like, and I think he's on people's radars now, but to get him over that hump to be like, oh shit, this dude is for real, you got to be frequent. You got to fight on these big cards. You got to find these big moments and compete. So if that is an option and Benoit can turn around and fight, you got to do it. You got to do it on a big stage. That's probably going to be a fight that would kick off a main card on it, just a ginormous one. I think if you could do it, you do it. And then Paddy can still be there after the fact. Like, it's and look, if you're Favola, fight Saint-Denis now. Fight him now. Like, now's the time to fight him. Because he's only going to get better. Mostly because of what you just said. I'm not as concerned about the defensive discrepancies as you are. And maybe as Luke is. They're clearly there. He does get clipped. He got clipped in the Bonfim fight too. But I don't think he would approach a fight with like a Rafael Fiziev in the same way. I think he just didn't have any respect for Thiago Moises' power at all. And he was willing to take those shots because he just didn't have the respect for it. Now, if he fights a Fiziev or a Gaethje type or Poirier or Chandler, which is far, far away, Fazeev, maybe, depending on what happens in a couple weeks, but I don't know if he's going to have that same level of I don't give a shit in him. But yeah, I think he just had no respect for Thiago Moises' punching power at all. And he was landing everything. And Thiago Moises is one of the best defensive strikers in the lightweight division, but even as good as he is defensively, there's nothing he could do. Benoit was just ragdolling him. There's nothing he could do. Benoit was just so much bigger and more physical than he was. It was wild to watch. What a performance. But yeah, if he can get back, if he can turn around quick and fight for Vol at MSG, go do it. That's only going to help you.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Let's go to Slip and Roll.
Hey, Mike. How's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I want to stay on the topic of Adesanya versus Strickland. A lot of people are saying that this fight is easy for Adesanya. And I actually don't get why people are so caught up on that, because like the guy actually beat Whitaker twice, Vettori twice, Pereira, Cannonier, Costa, Brunson, Wilkinson, Anderson, Smith, all of these guys. And I do think that this guy deserves a couple of easy wins on his resume. And also I really don't think that Strickland's an easy fight, honestly. So I want to actually know your opinion on what does Adesanya need to do for people to think that he is actually the middleweight GOAT? I just wanted to ask you that.
To be the middleweight GOAT. Oops, didn't mean to do that. Sorry. He's got to break the title defense record. That would help. I mean, that's really it for me, really. Izzy's got a tremendous resume, but I think it's just honestly, it's him just breaking that record, break the title defense record, and that's certainly going to help. But he goes out there and he beats Strickland, which many are expecting him to do. I mean, just look at the betting odds, and then he turns around and goes out and beats DDP convincingly. And if he goes out and then beats Khamzat Chimaev after that, because apparently Chimaev is on that radar. If Chimaev beats Paulo Costa, things are going to get real interesting at 185. You run off those three wins on top of everything else, that's certainly going to help. It's about numbers, man. It's about numbers. We talk about this all the time at MMA Fighting. There is nothing more difficult than rattling off a bunch of title defenses in your division where you're just fighting the next guy up and just knocking them down. And all these talks about who the GOAT is. Like, I remember we're doing this with Kamaru Usman, and I'm just like, stop, stop this. He's not there yet. He's got to rattle off more defenses. The title numbers, the title defenses, the consecutive title defense, all of that matters. It all matters in these GOAT debates. When you have your name on top of the list, that's it. That ends most discussions to me. You know, runs off those three wins, that's certainly going to help. Will it put him there in the number one spot? Pretty close. But again, once you eclipse that number or you at least even it, that's going to put you in a different kind of a company for me. Max, hello.
Hello, Mike. How you doing this morning? You get your Dunkin'?
I got my Dunkin', my man.
Love to hear it. So I just got a few questions for you. So I've recently been inspired by you and Jed, you know, talking about people. For example, Sean here getting a title shot off Abus, Magomedov, tune-up fight kind of thing. I know this might have been out of the realm of possibility 2 years ago, but this is a different world in the UFC. So if Manel Cape wins on UFC 293, does the UFC say to themselves one of three things? A, we want to promote Manel, give him the title shot, as weird as that sounds, give him title shot. He's more marketable than Pantoja. B, do they say, okay, we like Makhachev better, give him Makhachev, you know, okay, he won versus Dos Santos, whatever, give him Makhachev. Or C, maybe give him Moreno or some other top contender after. I think he's in a quite intriguing place because Manel runs his mouth quite a lot and he's quite confident in himself, which makes sense. However, I'm just curious where he would go from here if he wins. I mean, could they give him a title shot? I mean, 2 years ago, I would have said never, but this is a different world. My second question being, what do you think about AEW after their two most recent pay-per-views? Still doo-doo in your eyes? Is Tony, you know, have more balls now after firing CM Punk? Or, you know, what are your thoughts on that? And, yeah, that's what I got for your brother. Thanks for taking my call, and I hope you have a lovely day and week. Cheers.
Thanks, man. I watched All Out yesterday. It was fine. It was good. Was it a great pay-per-view? No, it wasn't. Was it good? Yeah. Was it exactly what they needed after the CM Punk firing? Yes. They had to do exactly that. And you know what? Jon Moxley had a wrestling match. Holy shit. Holy shit. No, it was fine. The Punk thing, I think I'm going to reserve judgment because I think this story ain't done. I think it's far away from being done. So there's going to be video of that incident backstage. Like there is video of it and it's going to get released. And then we can reserve judgment until then. But yeah, it's just a weird situation. Now, Punk, what he's going to do, I have no idea. If he ends up in WWE, that'd be incredible. What a wild turn of events it has been if he ends up returning. But yeah, it was a good pay-per-view. All In was fun. Not watching it live, I think, really gave me a full sense of what it was. Good pay-per-view. Very good. And I thought I watched the Payback pay-per-view from WWE as well on Sunday. That was awesome. The Becky Lynch Trish Stratus match was fucking great. It's one of the best matches of the year, men or women. It was awesome. Main event was great too. Like there's just a lot. I don't know. But we'll see how AEW can recover. We'll see what Collision looks like moving forward without Punk. But yeah, there's a lot more to that story. As far as Manel Cop goes, of the three options, I think it's going to be option C. I don't think he'll give him a title shot. I don't think they're going to give him Makhachev. I think he's ahead of both of those guys. Makhachev, there's no rush to get him to a guy like Manel Cop. It all kind of depends on what Pantoja's next move is going to be before he can kind of figure it out. Are they going to run it back with Moreno again? I kind of assume they won't right now. Are they going to do Pantoja versus Brandon Royval? If that's the case, maybe we do Manel Cop versus Amir Albazi, but that'll be tough because they both sort of train at the same place. So I don't know if that fight can happen. They're both managed by the same guy. There's just a lot of the samesies going on with those guys. So maybe that fight's not possible. If they do Pantoja Albazi, well, let's do Cop Royval. Love that idea. But yeah, I don't think Makhachev's really in the mix right now for that fight. I think he needs a couple more wins. I am really, really interested in this Makhachev-Tim Elliott fight. Really, really interested in that one. That's a good one. But we just got to get Manel in there. Got to get him in there and just let him get some reps in. It's been a minute since we've seen him fight. And he's fought a lot of like kind of lower level dudes, like outside of the top 15 kinds of guys. And he's just icing all of them. So it'll be nice. Like the Alex Perez fight would have been perfect. Would have been great to see what he could do. The Kai Kara France fight would have been perfect. They could always go back to that one too. Like if they go back to Australia in February again, they do another February pay-per-view in Australia. Like if they go back to Perth again, like they did this year, you could rebook it for that. So I don't know. Without actually knowing what Pantoja is going to do next, it's kind of tough to see, but I think we could figure out. We'll be able to figure it out more from there and kind of put the pieces together. But as you know, MMAfighting.com, we have been very high on Manel Kopp. We were very excited when he signed with the UFC, and now he's getting close to that title shot. So we'll see if he can get there. CV, hello.
Yo, Mike. Heck of a morning. Hope you had a great weekend. Just two quick ones from me. First question is Tai Tuivasa the new Derek Lewis of the heavyweight division? Meaning like win or lose, like we'll still watch him. Like he'll be like any fights, like whether he's main eventing or a co-main event, like regardless, like he's just there for fun fights now. Second question, Carlos Olberg, if he has another finish, he'll be on a five fight win streak. Are you high on him? Like where do you see him? Like realistically, is he like can he crack into the top 10 eventually in the light heavyweight rankings? Just because light heavyweight's kind of like muddy right now. And personally, I think he could be a player eventually down the road. Thanks.
Tai Tuivasa, yeah, I mean, excuse me. He is Derek Lewis-esque for sure. I don't think he's quite where Derek is. Like Derek is Ty is beloved by a lot of people, and his personality is great. I just think Derek's just on a whole nother level when it comes to that stuff. But Ty's like right there. So Ty is almost to that point where rankings don't matter. Title implications don't matter. It's just about watching him fight. So he's very close to getting to where Derek Lewis is now. But I think Derek, after that win over Ruggiero de Lima and taking the pants off and all that, like that dude, I mean, that dude, Lewis is a star. Like he's at least a tier two star. I'm not sure if Ty is quite there just yet, but he's close. He's very, very close, I would say. So it's going to be a really interesting fight. I don't love his chances against Volkov, but he is he's very close to much watch TV. He's just so fun. Like he'll come out to the I'm curious to see what song he comes out to. It'll be ridiculous and all sorts of fun. Latino Heat, hello.
Hello, good morning. And my question is how do you see a fight against Tank and Sean O'Malley playing out, and do you think would it be a huge event or not that big? And the end, who do you think Sean should fight next?
Sean should fight Chito Vera next. That's the fight. Nothing else makes a lot. I mean, I'm not going to say nothing else makes sense because there's a lot of fights that make sense. The Merab fight makes meritocratic sense. And in a meritocracy where things are based on ranking and what you have done to deserve things, Merab is the guy. But this is not that world. So Cheeto's going to get the shot. How would Sean O'Malley, Gervonta, Tank go in a boxing match? Tank would Tank would beat that ass, man. Like, let's not overthink this. Is it a massive fight right now? No, it's not a massive fight right now. Is it something that could build into something? Sure. But it ain't now. Sean's got to beat Cheeto. He's got to go beat a couple more guys and just blast off into the superstar stratosphere before that can happen. But like, this is not, like, I'm not disrespecting Sean O'Malley. This is just, it's, we've seen it. And I don't think Tank's the kind of guy that's going to carry O'Malley like Floyd did with Connor. I think Tank's just going to try to get him out of there real quick. So I don't love that fight for Sean. But could it be a big event? Sure. It could be. It's just not a big event right the second. If that makes sense. But yeah, it's him and Cheeto. It's the biggest fight you can make in this division. Go ahead and do it. It'll be gigantic, and we'll see what comes out of that. And if Sean loses that fight, all bets are off with all these conversations. But if he wins, then we're just, the sky's the limit for the guy, for sure. But this next fight is so, so important for Sean O'Malley. It's gigantic. And if he beats Chito Vera, oh boy, strap the rockets to him. We're off to the races. Let's see. Black Belt MMA, go ahead.
Hi, I'm a friend. I just wanted to say that Israel Adesanya is the great, is the good, is the god, because he win, he's defeat the belt maybe 5 or 6 times. There is no champion do this. Maybe even he is winning at when he fight and Anderson Silva, and he beat Paulo Costa, and there are a lot of other fighters who win. Thanks.
No, he's not. he's not the middleweight goat. He's not. Anderson still is. Anderson has 10 title defenses. And he did it consecutively. 10 in a row. Anderson's the goat. It's not Izzy. Izzy's got a chance to get there. But he's not there yet. He's just not. Like, Anderson defended his title 10 times before he lost the title. Izzy has a loss during... Izzy got knocked out by Alex Pereira. I mean, he avenged the loss. But Anderson defended that title 10 consecutive times. And were there some snoozers in there? Yes, but Izzy's got some snoozers too. So he can get there. But it's just, it's not, he's not there yet. He's not there yet, in my opinion. Yeah, hello.
What's up, Mike? How you doing, man?
How are you?
Good question for you. So in terms of the heavyweight division, I remember hearing Tom Aspinall saying that Cyril was reluctant to accepting that fight after his latest win. So I guess, is the next match Aspinall versus Pavlovich in terms of just kind of putting the whole fights together of, you know, who's going to challenge for the heavyweight title, whether John Jones retires or not. Is that the next fight to make? And then in terms of Cyril, I know he's trying to go after the title. So what do you think his path is? Is it just the fight, I guess, the winner of Jones and Stipe? Appreciate you, man.
No. It's definitely not the winner of that fight. Cyril just got iced by John Jones in a minute. So that win against Sergey Spivak is not enough to get him a title fight. It's not. Like, Sergey's best win at the time. Not Sergey. Like, Tom Aspinall's best win was the Marcin Tybura win. Like, he's got some, the Volkov was great too. But beating Marcin Tybura, to me, I think Tybura's resume was actually better than Spivak's. Spivak's best one was Derek Lewis. And with, like, everything that went into that fight, it didn't age great. So this is good matchmaking. This is a Cyril Gane, let's put him over type of fight. And same with Aspinall's with Tybura. So I don't know if it's like reluctancy when it comes to that fight, but I think Cyril's just kind of keeping his options open. However, his options aren't spectacular. If I'm Cyril Gane, I'm going all in on Pavlovich. Like, that's the fight I'm going for. Like, go all in on that one. Because Aspinall could just take him down and beat that ass. Like, he ain't gonna sprawl an Aspinall takedown. Like, Aspinall's gonna get him down, he's gonna punish him. Pavlovich is just gonna stand there and trade punches with him. And I think, honestly, like, Gane matches up better with Pavlovich than he does with Tom Aspinall. At least in my humble opinion. But this whole, well, I want to get to the belt thing is not going to work. What's the other option? The other option is if Jailton Almeida beats Curtis Blaydes, I mean, that just creates a whole new wrinkle to all of this. So people forget that Jailton's fighting Curtis Blaydes November 4th, a week before the heavyweight title fight. And as we know in this sport, it's what have you done for me lately? And if the heavyweight division, if what have you done for me lately leads into the heavyweight title fight, then the lasting memory in this division is Jailton Almeida beating Curtis Blaydes. So we can't forget about him. And I know Pavlovich is the backup for the title fight, and he'll weigh in and all of that. But if Jailton beats Curtis Blaydes, it's probably Pavlovich, Jailton Almeida for the vacant title. Because that's the biggest win from anybody. So I think we have to wait to see what happens there. But if I'm Cyril, man, I am going all in on one of these guys. I'm not playing the, well, my next fight needs to be for the belt. I just want to get back to the belt. You got to have a plan, man. Otherwise, you're not going to get what you want. But I think Pavlovich fight is interesting for him. Go ahead, Four Corners.
And yes, you are correct that's an important fight. sorry, Jailton versus Curtis Blaydes. I'm one of those people that firmly believes that Curtis Blaydes will get it done. I forgot who said it. I don't know if it was Luke Thomas or Judd Mischue, but one of them has said it, and I had a rewind tape on Jailton Almeida. He does three things very well. Front kick. What's it called? A double-legged takedown against the cage, and then at the end of the day, he tries to apply for submissions. Well, Curtis Blaydes is a really good wrestler. Yeah, he's got kicked before in the face and stuff like that, but I just can't get the idea of Jailton Almeida trying to take down Curtis Blaydes. And then what's next for Jailton Almeida if he can't, you know, do step two after doing step one? Because I have a feeling that he's going to have a very difficult time trying to take down Curtis Blaydes. And what do you think, who would benefit more from a Curtis Blaydes victory in San Paulo? Cyril Gane or Tom Aspinall? Because I saw improvements in Cyril Gane, and when he ended up stuffing that takedown on Sergey Spivak, it reminded me of the same way when Francis Ngannou ended up stuffing that takedown against Stipe in their rematch. And I was like, all right, well, outside of everything, outside of the takedown defense, we didn't learn anything. But we did learn that, you know, he can at least be able to now defend a little bit more. So that was one good nugget that I saw from Cyril Gane. And lastly, I wanted to ask, so I saw that you guys put out there that Laura Sanko is going to be on commentary for the pay-per-view. Off the bat, how you feel like the chemistry is going to go between Anik, Cormier, and Sankos. And that's all I got to say. Thanks.
So, yeah, I'll start with the Sanko thing because that is incredible stuff. Laura Sanko getting the nod. I had heard rumblings a couple of months ago that they were looking at that card in particular as kind of sworn to secrecy. But once I found out Laura was heading to Sydney, I kind of was like, ooh, this is what's happening. So confirmed it with multiple people yesterday, and there you go. Laura getting the nod, and I think her chemistry with DC, she's worked with DC already a bunch of times on the Contender Series, so there's already a chemistry there. She works with DC on the weigh-in shows quite a bit, So there's a great chemistry between those guys, and John Anik is the best in the business when it comes to huddling up the troops and getting everyone at their best. And it's nice to, honestly, she is so good. She's so good with the grappling stuff. And you know what I love about her the most? She understands scoring. She gets it. She educates herself in the scoring and understands that, oh, if you defend a takedown, you should, you, because we hear people say, well, if you defend a takedown, that should count. No, it shouldn't. No, it shouldn't. But Laura gets it. She is engulfed in this sport, and she's trying to get better and better and better. And I think, and I saw some people being a bunch of assholes about it. Saw some people commenting, well, I'm going to mute the pay-per-view for the first time. Well, then you're an idiot. You're an idiot if you feel that way. Because she's going to bring something different to the table. And I feel like she's going to do so well that this will not be a one-time thing. She has earned this opportunity, and she deserves it, and she's really good. So I think the chemistry is going to be fantastic. I think it's going to be great. With the heavyweight division, man, I've heard this take a lot that, oh, Curtis is just going to kill Jailton Almeida. Jailton's not going to be able to take him down, all that stuff. I just don't understand what you're watching. Because here's the thing. Curtis Blaydes is probably going to have to keep this thing on the feet the whole time. Because what's Curtis going to go to first if he gets himself in any trouble? He's going to try to take Jailton Almeida down. And being on the ground with that guy, whether you're on top of him or whether you're on your back, is awful. It is not a good place to be. So is Curtis okay going a potential 25 minutes in a striking battle with this guy? If he is, and this fight stays on the feet, then Curtis probably has a good chance to win. But I just, Jailton is a hoss, man. Jailton is a hoss, and it don't have to be pretty for him to get you to the ground. All he needs is one. Even as veteran savvy as Curtis Blaydes is, I think people underestimate how good Jailton Almeida is on the ground. He is incredible. So I don't, like, this is definitely the, this is the big litmus test. This is the big one. And if Jailton beats Curtis Blaydes, however he does it, he's number one with a bullet. He's above Pavlovich for me. Pavlovich has earned his right to be in a vacant title fight if that's what it comes to. But Jailton Almeida is above him and 1,000% deserves to be in that discussion if he beats a guy like Curtis Blaydes. But we'll see what happens on November 4th. I can't wait for that fight, and the timing of it is fantastic. It's really, really perfect heading into the title fight. Because if Jail, yep, hey, what's up, man?
Good morning. So I heard you talking to TG earlier, and it sounds like you match made Benoit St. Denis against Matt Frivola. Is that correct?
I did.
Okay, yeah, that's the exact fight I was hoping for. Well, exact fight I am hoping for as soon as they announce one of their next matchups. I just wanted to know, who would you favor in that fight? And then also, what's that? Never mind. That's it. I forgot what else I was going to ask. Yeah, who would you favor in that fight?
Thanks, man. I favor Santini in that fight. He's just so physical, man. I'm not ruling out Frivola. Frivola is better than I thought he was. And he showed it in the Drew Dober fight. Because I was pretty confident that Drew Dober was going to beat Matt Frivola, and he proved me wrong. So the guy continues to get better. But, man, is that a tough fight for him. But it's a good one. It's not one he can't win. But Benoit is just so big. He's a giant for this division. So physical. So, I mean, if this is just a straight striking match, Frivola's got a shot, but I don't think it's going to be. I think Benoit's just going to hoss him. He's going to try to hold poor Matt Frivola against the fence and just unleash punishment on him. But Benoit does not care about a firefight either. So the more of a firefight it becomes, the better the chances are for Matt Favola, and Matt Favola is very good at turning things into a firefight. So there's no way that fight sucks. There's no way that fight sucks. I love that fight, but I would favor Sansabi to win. Cole, go ahead.
Good morning, Mike. By the way, Four Corner, it was Jose Youngs who was saying the stuff about Curtis Blades. So, but on I think it was Saturday for the – I think it was either the pre-fight or the post-fight. I mean, I was tuning in for some great takes, but I didn't think I would get something as great as you comparing Manon Fiorot to Paul Molitor. I mean, that's just money. That is money. Like, Jose was trying to shit on you for that. That's money. Just singles and doubles, baby. But I just want you to talk about the why the fuck is this fight happening fight of the year that's on this card. I mean, in the good name of Austin Hubbard, what the fuck is going on with this one? Just that's all I got.
Thanks, man. I assume you were talking about the Nasrat Haqparast Landon Quinones fight. I don't know. It's the most random fight on a card that I can remember. But I don't know. Opportunity knocks. There you go. Nasrat wanted to be on this card and wanted to get back in there. And Landon said, I'll do it on pretty short notice. So, you know, Landon's well represented. Shout out to Oren Hodak. So he gets his chance. So good for him. It is very weird. It sticks out like a sore thumb, this one. For sure. Yes, and I love the Paul Molitor reference. Singles and doubles. That's what Manon Fiorot does. Singles and doubles. But can hit home run if she needs to. If she faces a pitcher that's not big league ready, she can knock it out of the park. YVMZ, hello.
Hi, Mike. Heck of morning. Just wanted to get your thoughts on... I don't know if you've seen the footage with Francis and Tyson, you know, training and sparring. Just wanted to get your thoughts on if he had a chance to beat Tyson Fury.
No chance. I love the videos, though. I will say that. Seeing Francis and Tyson and seeing Francis, you know, take instruction and come through and land some nice shots, but... Yeah, it's great, but that's not Tyson Fury. So he's got, I'm sorry. Like, it would be the craziest thing in the history of combat sports if Francis Ngannou wins this fight. It would be absolutely insane. Like, Tyson Fury took the absolute best shots that Deontay Wilder could throw and didn't get knocked out. And continue to fight. I just don't think Francis is going to be able to land that big shot. And even if he does, yeah, it's just not going to go well. Maybe Tyson carries him a little bit. But it would be the most insane thing that ever happened in combat sports. It would be the most insane thing if Francis somehow won this fight. But what a magical friggin' moment it would be. Can you imagine Dana White's reaction to that? It would be the best. It would be the fucking best. And it would be hilarious. It would be awesome if Francis could do it, but we got to be real with ourselves, my friends. It's not going to happen. Viking, hello.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
What's up, man? Hello.
I just want to ask you, have you ever visited a psychiatrist or therapist, and how was that experience for you? And one more question about Jelton Almeida and Curtis Blades fight. How do you see that fight, considering your knowledge of fight game and all the other stuff, BJJ? Thanks a lot.
Man, I mean, it's one of the tougher fights to call right now. It's one of the tougher fights to call. But for me, I kind of look at it as, you know, when you give someone with big punching power 25 minutes to land a big shot, that's the way I view Gelson Almeida from a grappling perspective. You give Gelson Almeida 25 minutes to get to his position in this fight, he's going to take advantage of it. I just don't see a world where this fight stays on the feet for 25 minutes. I just don't see it. So with that said, I'm leaning Gelson Almeida because that's just a lot of time. But who knows? Maybe Curtis comes up with a great game plan. I'm not saying Curtis can't win. Curtis will probably be favored to win this fight. But he's going to have to be, absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. Have I done therapy? Yes, I have. Years ago, I'm not doing it currently, but it is very helpful. It certainly is very helpful. To me, it's been more like the physical, like to me, it was like, I did it probably, 2014, 2015-ish, getting kind of burnt out with a lot of things, working multiple jobs, trying to like get this MMA thing up and running and just kind of working myself to the bone. And all of it just kind of translated to me being kind of a grump. And I don't like being a grump. I don't like being a grump at all. So I went and talked about it and just realized that, you know, don't get burnt out and don't be a grump. When you feel grumpy and you feel in a bad place, go do something physical that makes you feel better. For me, it was lifting weights, hitting golf balls, going to the driving range, just swinging as hard as you can, certain things. And, you know, I've had conversations with my wife about it. And there are times where when I was grumpy, she would just say, you know what, go hit some golf balls. I'd be like, you know what? You're right. And I would go hit golf balls and I'd feel better about it. We talk things out. I haven't eaten in a while. There are times where I get a little grumpy and I get a little overwhelmed. But the thing about therapy that really helped was it kind of led me into these things where now I know how to handle it a little bit better. So if you've never done it, I recommend it. If you're in a weird place, definitely do it. And some people like just carry it on for years and years. It's something that they like absolutely have to have, and kudos to them. It's just something I could go back to, something I really need to right now. But when I did it, it was very helpful, very helpful. It taught me a lot about myself. So I recommend it for sure. Daniel, hello.
Hey, Mike, can you hear me?
Got you.
Perfect. Heck of a morning to you, man. Hope your holiday weekend went well. Just got a really quick one for you, just about this Austin Lane and Taffa fight. Kind of just curious how you think this fight goes. I know we're getting the second iteration of it now, but it's just really interesting, like Taffa coming from a NFL background and everything, and somehow he actually has more MMA experience than Taffa. I feel like we normally don't see something like that, but yeah, just curious on how you think that fight actually plays out. Thanks, Mike.
It's going to be a slugfest that Taffa should probably win. Like, I know Lane's got a lot of more fights. Let me see how much more. 12-3. But a lot of his fights were, like, on the regional scene, too. And most of his fights did not last very long. They're, like, 30 seconds here, minute here. Has he ever even been to a third round in his career? No. So it's pretty easy to be active. Like he debuted in 2017, three fights, 2018, three fights, 2019, two fights. Then he lost in 2020, but then, you know, 2021 had a bunch of fights. Like he's fighting 2-3 times a year. Dude's an athlete, no doubt about that. But Taffa's just fought way better guys. Way better guys. So, Eileen, but again, when you have two big fucking animals throwing bombs at each other, anything is possible. Anything can happen. But Eileen Justin Tafa. I mean, anybody who goes out there and knocks out Paca Porter automatically gets the favorite nod in my eyes. Let's go to Jacob, and then we'll go to Fight Papa before we get on out of here. Jacob, hello. All right, not connecting. Try again, Jacob. Fight Papa, do we have you? Fight Papa, you're muted. Fight Papa not coming through either. Maybe we can get Jacob back in here. Not working. Same thing. Not getting anything from either. All right, I'll give it like 10 more seconds. See if we can get either of you through. If not, it's going to be a wrap on the program. All right, doesn't look like it's going to happen. I got you guys screenshotting it right now. When we come back on Thursday, let's try Jacob one more time. Jacob, do we have
you? Yeah, hey, Mike. Sorry, can you hear me?
Yep, I got you.
Okay, cool. First, I just want to say, I know it's a morning time for you. It's nighttime for me. I'm over in Kazakhstan. I'm an American living here, working as an expat. Anyways, how do you see Sean Strickland getting a victory, if even possible at all, in your opinion? And thanks for everything. Thanks for hosting the show. You do an awesome job, man. So, yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Sean, like I've said before, Sean just has to get in Izzy's face for 25 minutes and just throw a million punches. That's literally his best chance. Now, shoot a couple of takedowns, mix the martial arts, all of it. But he cannot let Izzy get loose or have any room to maneuver at all. And that is asking a lot from any athlete to do for a potential 25 minutes. But that is his best chance. He has to just get within 5 inches of Izzy at all times and just always move and always be offensive and just let the chips fall where they may. He cannot let Izzy get comfortable at all. At all. But that is very, very difficult for anybody to do. So that's his best chance. This can't be a kickboxing match. This can't even really be like a typical MMA fight. He needs to be somewhat defensively sound, but 95% offense. And just be in his grill every second doing something offensive. Other than that, he's going to get picked apart. And it's not going to be good. But to say he has zero chance, I'm not going to say that. But that is a lot. The path to victory is there, but it is going to take a lot. And it's going to take him being perfect. And it's going to take his mindset sticking to that game plan that his team has put together for 25 minutes. And Sean has had trouble with that. Alex Pereira fight's a perfect example. The plan for Alex Pereira fight was to wrestle him. And Sean said, F that. I'm going to strike with him. And he got knocked out. And his team in the corner is like, what are you doing? What are you doing? He got knocked out. But Sean's whole mindset with Pereira and the entire fight was, if I fight this guy 100 times, I'm going to fight him that way all 100 times. That's just the way the man thinks. So, you know, Nixick's got a game plan. You know, the team's got a game plan. They've studied Izzy like crazy. Things are going to get real heated over the next few days. Let's see if Sean can stay within himself and stick to a game plan. It's going to be tough to do. The game plan he needs to probably beat Izzy is going to be a tough one. But this is a sport where anything can happen. And Sean Strickland winning would be, golly, the post-fight show, the watch party reaction, for a Sean Strickland win will be legendary. That's for sure. All right, we are done. Thank you very much. Very busy day. Got some interviews coming up, including I'll be talking to the original BMF champ later on today, one Jorge Masvidal, about his big event on Friday, the Justin Gaethje stuff. Will he come back? We'll talk about that. I'm also going to be talking to Gianni Vasquez today. If that name doesn't ring a bell, go to my Twitter and go to the pinned tweet, because Gianni Vasquez was the guy who was sort of the victim of the Fury FC debacle, where the referee did not stop a fight when poor Gianni Vasquez was unconscious in a choke. And then he was put into an arm bar while unconscious, and his arm getting broken is what woke him up from being unconscious. But Gianni has somehow recovered from all of that, and he actually won the Up Next Fighting flyweight title over the weekend. So excited to catch up with him and see what the last few months of his life have been like. And looks like I'll have another interview coming up tomorrow as well with a up-and-coming UFC main eventer. So get excited for that. So it's going to be a busy week. We got 293, watch party coming up on Saturday. Your boy's going to be doing some more interviews again. You've all been asking, and I'm going to give it to you. So thank you all very much. Back Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern, we'll do it again. Until then, have a great rest of your Tuesday, and as always, have a heck of a morning, everybody.
Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.